evening, everyone. It's nice to see each and every one of you. I didn't even realize I had such stiff competition tonight. Snow and Super Bowl. At least we can pinpoint who the football fans are and who they aren't. If you'd like to take your Bibles and turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, we'll do a bit of reading there. I guess I better turn this on. Wouldn't want you to not be able to hear me. Luke chapter 1, we're going to be reading at verse 5, and just to give you a heads up what we're looking at this evening, been reading through the Gospel of John recently and got to the passage in John chapter 3, that well-known passage of the encounter that Jesus has with a man named Nicodemus. That's also well known to us. And as I read the verses that came after that exchange, there's a little passage after that that concerns John the Baptist and some people that approached him having a question. And I found that little passage that's kind of tucked away after that very famous passage very interesting. I thought it was perhaps a passage that got overlooked a little bit, in light of that passage that's known so well. And so I thought I'd take a little bit of a look at the life of John the Baptist, and certainly not an exhaustive look at it, but just to kind of see where he came from and some of the things that he did in his ministry, and then we'll look at that passage in John chapter 3. So we'll begin in Luke, and we'll see the origins of John the Baptist. In verse 5, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abi, and his wife was of the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God, in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, and to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And just for time's sake, we're not going to look at this whole passage, but really you could just keep reading through in chapter 1 there, but I'm just going to pick a couple more verses out. Look down to verse 39. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. We know at this time Mary had been visited, promised the child, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, and she goes to visit Elizabeth, and this is what happened. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come unto me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leapt in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of these things which were told her from the Lord. And then down to verse 59, And we kind of skipped over passages. After Zacharias met the angel, he had doubt, and the angel made him dumb so that he could not speak. And in verse 59, "And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias, after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, Not so, but he shall be called John. And they said unto her, There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, His name is John. And they marveled all. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. And fear came upon all that dwelt round about them. And all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, What manner of child shall this be? And the Lord, and the hand of the Lord was with him." Now we're going to go over to John chapter 1 now. That's quite an introduction to this man, John the Baptist, as he would be known later in his life. Very kind of a prestigious entrance into this world, and big things were expected of him. A servant of the Lord. And then in John chapter 1, we begin to see, this is just one recording of some of the things that he had done. John chapter 1 and verse 6, we're just going to again pick a couple verses out here. "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light." And verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we held his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him, and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." And then verse 19, "And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? And he confessed, and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, What then? Art thou Elias? And he said, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, No. And they said unto him, Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. And then that well-known verse, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. Let's just commit our time to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word, for the truth that it contains, for the example that it leaves for us. Father, for those of us who are Christians, how we ought to behave ourselves in this world, we can look and we can examine the lives of those men who were faithful servants, who loved your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we just ask as we examine the words of your Holy Scriptures that you would strengthen our hearts to receive them, that we might be more like this man, John the Baptist. Father, we may be ultimately more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, if there's any again here this evening who do not know him, the one who is called the Lamb of God, that they would come to know him even this evening. They would hear how he was spoken of in his time by those that knew him. Father, they would turn to him, repent of their sins, and look to the cross where there hung the Lamb of God. So, Father, we just ask for your help this evening and your guidance in his most lovely name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So now we're going to turn over to John chapter 3. We've gotten a little background on who this person is. John the Baptist, we've seen some of his ministry, the beginnings of his life, and certainly great things were expected of him. The Lord had a purpose and a plan for him. And actually, just before we start into this passage, there's one other verse that I wanted to look at. You don't have to turn there. It's just one verse, and I'll read it. Luke chapter 7, verse 28, and it says this. This is the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist, but he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. So we see the Lord Jesus Christ in another place giving account of John the Baptist, and he said, born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. So we certainly see here that he has no shortage of credibility to his name. And I was just thinking of those things after I had read this passage, and we'll just see some of the teaching of John the Baptist here. And we'll start in verse 23. Actually, just in verse 22, we'll read the end of that passage before. Jesus deals with Nicodemus, and then it says in verse 22, after these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And verse 23, and John also was baptizing in Anon, near to Salem, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized, for John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came to John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. Now, I found this interesting because, as is the case with much of the scripture, we read it and we can apply it to our lives today. We can see the truth in it. And John had, I guess you could say, he'd gathered all this prestige. He was very well known. People came from all areas. We read in chapter 1 how they even sent out the religious leaders to come and ask him questions to see really what his story was. And so he had lots of fame and even a bit of power, I suppose, in a sense. And he said himself that he was come as a messenger to prepare the way of the Lord. And now that time had come. The Lord Jesus Christ had come to him, and he said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And so Jesus began his ministry. John had been laboring for a long time, but Jesus did not begin his ministry till he was about 30 years of age. But John had been laboring for some time, preparing the way of the Lord. But when that time came, there was to be a role reversal. And we'll see that as we read on. But the point in saying this is that here come these men to John, and they have some questions of him, and they have some questions about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it will be easy for John at this point, because men were willing to learn of him. He really, I believe, could have directed them any way that he wanted, good or bad. And when you look at the religions of this world, the different things that are out there to lead us away from the truth and the Lord Jesus Christ, you go back to a point in their origin and you see that there was a man that was there. And you see that they desired to bring to themselves glory for themselves, prestige, power, fame, money, certainly, and they did it. But you can see there a man, and many of the denomination and sects in the world and cults, that's the origin. And here I read this, and I just think of how easy it would have been for John to direct men to himself. But we're going to see, and this is what encouraged me through this passage, that John directed people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they come with these questions, and here's John's answer. And he will take the rest of this chapter to answer these men. He said, a man can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven. And that's a good start. John begins with that, and he says that there's nothing that I have that came of my own doing, my own strength. He could look back to the history of his own life, his own birth, and see those things that surrounded his birth and how the Lord had set him apart to be a servant. And he acknowledges that he could have nothing except it were given him from above. And that's a good start for any man or woman in this life, is to know that nothing that we have, we could have on our own. And that's where people often get astray, is they'll think something of themselves. And anytime we do that, it is a big mistake. If we think that we can go forth and succeed in this world on our own steam, perhaps we will, but it will be to our own undoing in the end. We will not have favor with God in that path. And so John begins with this, that he acknowledges that he has received nothing of himself. Verse 28, ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. And so he goes back to his own teaching. We read in John chapter 1, he says, I am not the Christ. He is a messenger. He was one in the wilderness proclaiming the way of the Lord. And he didn't want any of that. He wanted the Lord Jesus Christ to have all the preeminence and the glory. And I love this little example that he uses. And these almost kind of tangible examples, they always help me. And he gives them this story. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. And I love this little example that John gives. First of all, when you look in the scripture and you examine the relationship between the Lord Jesus Christ and the church, one of the beautiful examples that's given is the bridegroom and the bride. The Lord Jesus Christ being the bridegroom and the church being the bride, and we see that wonderful relationship that they have. And so John capitalizes on this, and that's something else that you'll find in the life of John. And if you were to take notes on John and little characteristics that he had that perhaps would be good for us, is that the things that he taught, they were in accordance and in agreement with the things that the Lord Jesus Christ taught. And that's always a safe road for us to be on. He was always in accordance with what the Lord Jesus Christ taught. And I think of this example, and I think, as I'm sure any one of us can think of, a wedding perhaps that we've been to or seen, or somebody that we've known. And this also is a testimony to the relationship between the Lord Jesus Christ and John the Baptist, as John says that he's a friend of the bridegroom. And I think myself, perhaps, of being at my brother's wedding, a friend of mine for sure, and standing there beside him, and that time when he had so much excitement and anticipation of the bride coming, and everything that went with that day, what kind of a friend would I be if I came in alongside of him and started to make a big distraction, try and take away from that event, take away from what was happening with them, even to stand out and to refute what was taking place, say that this should never happen, perhaps that he wasn't worthy of this. And it wasn't so with John. He said, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, says he rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. He rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. I could stand beside my brother and I could rejoice with him over the things that would take place in that day. I could rejoice at his voice and the words, the vows that he made that day to his bride. I rejoice with him. I'm in accordance with what he's saying. I agree with him, and I don't try to take away from that. And you can just imagine the fiasco that would happen if you ever did see something like that. A friend of the bridegroom would be no friend at all, would it? But here we see the relationship that is between these two, that he had joy with the Lord Jesus Christ. It says that his joy was fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in verse 30, we have a verse really that kind of, I believe in a lot of ways, really summarizes the life of John the Baptist. He says, he must increase, but I must decrease. And this certainly is an example of the attitude that we should have towards the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's so many things in this world of materialism. I know I'm victim to them myself time and time again, where we go out into the world, or we don't even have to go out into the world. Now from the comfort of our own home, we can get on the computer and we can order things over the internet. We can gain things for ourselves, material wealth. We can go after them. And what is the purpose of it all? What are we trying to do? We're trying to better ourselves. We want more things. We want to be in a better position. We want to be more comfortable. We want to be more efficient. We want to have all these things for ourselves. But John says he must increase. John took his energies, his time, and I don't know how much money John the Baptist had. We know something of his life, that he was clothed in skins and ate locusts and honey. But he certainly gave of his time and his energies to the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything was in preparation for him. All of John's time went towards the Lord Jesus Christ and the furthering of his person and his testimony. And he says, he must increase, but I must decrease. And we see that sharp role reversal there. When the Lord Jesus Christ's ministry began, we see John fade into the background, don't we? He didn't want that attention for himself. Even at this point, after the Lord Jesus Christ had begun his ministry, John was still doing some work here with his disciples, and they came to him with questions, and also the Jews came, and they had questions as well, but he's still directing people towards the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 31, he that cometh from above is above all, and he that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And how true that is, and how easy it is for us to get lost in ourselves. And it just seems absolutely ridiculous when we have moments of clarity, I guess you could say, where we stop and we look at ourselves and we really give an honest examination and evaluation. We say, the things of this earth are temporal, they're vanity, they'll fade away, and yet we spend so much of our time investing in them, and we miss the true treasure that is in heaven. And that was mentioned this morning as Leonard was speaking in his message. Are we laying up for ourselves treasures that are in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt? And John is saying, this one that comes from heaven, he is above all. And it's really hard to believe. And even in the next verse, I find the next verse just amazing. It's in line with this, but we see he's declaring that Jesus is the one who is from heaven and he's above all. And so how can you compare one that is from heaven to one that is from earth? He says, I speak of earthly things. I have a very limited knowledge, limited truth, only what is given me. But he says, the one that comes from heaven is above all. And verse 32, and he that hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. And I find that verse almost just staggering when you stop and think of it. He that hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. How is it that men will, as it were, they will flock to John, they will come to John with their questions, and it says, no man receiveth the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is from heaven, and the one who is above all. And these things are just so plainly for us today. We can see how things have not changed. There's nothing new under the sun. The things that John had to deal with in those days are similar to what we deal with today. And we can certainly turn to John for an example. No man receiveth his testimony, the one that is from heaven, and the one that is above all. Verse 33, he that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. Now this is John the Baptist speaking here, but the gospel itself is written by another John, one of Jesus' disciples, and he's just recording these things that were taught by John. But in some of the epistles of the Apostle John, he writes more of this subject. And I believe it was Rod that mentioned a couple weeks ago in his message, he was talking about Jim Starr and how he had mentioned the danger and when people say that they believe in God. And he followed that up with a little story about how a man had come to him and was kind of making God what he wanted him to be. He said, well, God will be all right with my sin and the things that I do. Basically, we can make God what we want him to be. And a lot of times that's what happens, is people will take God and they'll make him what they want to be, and they'll think that they're fine, they're on a great road because they believe in God. How can they not have some part in heaven or some sort of hope because they believe in God? But I don't want the Lord Jesus Christ with that. He just doesn't fit into my master plan, my idea of what religion should be. And that's a danger, isn't it, when people speak of believing in God without the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see that in this verse. He that hath received his testimony, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, hath set to his seal that God is true. You can't have one without the other, can you? If you have the Lord Jesus Christ and you have God, if you have God in truth, then you receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what Jesus spent a lot of his time in dealing with the religious leaders, trying to make them understand that he was from his Father and that he spoke the truth and that God was his witness. And yet they did not believe him. They believed in God, but they wouldn't have the Lord Jesus Christ. And we look at the life of Saul, who would later be called Paul. And that's what he did, didn't he? He was totally convinced. And he believed beyond a shadow of a doubt in his heart that he was doing the will of God. He believed in God as much as any person could believe in God. And he believed that the things that he was doing were right and they were true. But what was he doing? He was murdering Christians. He was imprisoning the saints of the Lord Jesus Christ, doing everything he could to derail everything the Lord Jesus Christ had taught and done. That was his life mission, was against the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet there was a man who believed in God. And here, John gives us some wonderful teaching that you can't have one without the other. He that receiveth the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ has set to his seal that God is true. And so any time that we encounter something in this world where there's a difference between what people believe in God and in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can know that that is not truth because the two agree. And you can't have one without the other. In verse 34, for he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. You see that Jesus is unlimited in his truth and what he can speak. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. And really that was the problem that the religious leaders had. And John is just, again, in accordance with what the Lord Jesus Christ taught, he is pointing men to him. All those who have a question, he's not out there to gain anything for himself. He's not out there to promote himself, but rather to direct all glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 35, the Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. Beautiful words spoken of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just want to pause there again and reflect a little bit on the life of John the Baptist. And we have a short passage here, and yet there's so much that is taught here from John the Baptist. And we often don't think of it. And I guess that's kind of why I picked this to speak on. It's kind of in the shadow of that great passage with Jesus and Nicodemus, and myself, for years when I was a younger Christian, I thought that this was all just, the whole chapter was really part of the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to look at this last verse here in verse 36, another great verse that is often used in sharing the gospel with people. And I thought those were actually the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a passage that goes unnoticed quite a bit. And yet we see marvelous truths. If we could be set aside and have somebody record the things that we believed in our life here and now, if we could have a little passage like this and draw out so many things, we'd be doing pretty well. But we remember those words that Jesus spoke of John, and not a greater prophet than John was born to women. And in verse 36, he closes with this great verse, and you kind of have to go back to the beginning and think of the men that had approached John and certainly would have had doubts about the Lord Jesus Christ and who he was and what he was doing. Who's this other guy that's kind of coming onto the scene now? And he's baptizing, and he's baptizing more men than you're even baptizing, John. Who is this man, and what is he all about? And John gives him this beautiful answer where in every sentence he's directing these people to the Lord Jesus Christ, which he did all his life before Jesus even came on the scene. He was a voice in the wilderness preparing the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. He never declared to be the light. He never declared to be life or truth or that Messiah. He said he was preparing the way for this one. And now to these people who had these questions, he says to them in closing, "He that believeth on the Son." And you just look at every little phrase in this, and it's just so amazing to see that every little phrase is full of truth. "He that believeth on the Son," he's acknowledging that the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God. There's never hesitation from the lips of John the Baptist. Many would debate that point. Many of the Jewish people and leaders would debate whether or not he was truly the Son of God, a great point of contention. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." That great truth, that great hope, John is verifying, again, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ that we read just in the same chapter as we read of everlasting life. John says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." And yet we know that he does not finish there, but he continues in truth and to speak of those things that the Lord Jesus Christ himself spoke of. We know that Jesus taught more on the doctrine of hell than he did speak of heaven. And John continues to say, "And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." And John enforces that this is not a matter that should be played with. This is not a person that you can kind of take or leave at your whim, deal with as you will. John leaves no doubt, any that who came to him. He's seen the Lord Jesus Christ and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." You have him, you have life, everlasting life, but be not fooled. If you don't have this man, there's no substitute. There's nowhere else you can go. There's no other man, there's no other prophet, there's no other teaching that you can embrace that will give you this everlasting life. "He that believeth not on the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Let's just close in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for all that is recorded of him in your word, the truth that he taught throughout his ministry, the life that he led. And Father, we're thankful for men like John the Baptist, who were there to set a seal that those things were true. who were there to direct people to the Lord Jesus Christ, who were there to make sure that he got the glory, and that he sought no glory for himself. Fathers, we listen to these words, and even as I read over them again, may we be encouraged. May we be instructed by your word to be people who will direct others to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, again, if there's anybody here this evening, may they be careful to listen to the words of John. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Father, it's no joking matter. It's nothing to be taken lightly. And one day, each and every one of us will stand before him. Father, some unto life eternal, some unto condemnation. Every knee will bow before him. Father, may we be part of those who direct people to Christ, who love him, and take joy in speaking good of him. Father, strengthen our hearts, we ask this evening in his name. Amen.